Brothers and sisters, I suppose you could say that our gospel today is about good food and great leftovers. This particular story, this gospel, is one of the few told by all of the four gospels. Whereas the other gospels, the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, speak of miracles, St. John speaks of signs, because their primary purpose isn't to impress, but to help us understand who Jesus is. And in the case of this gospel, it's about how Jesus will satisfy not only empty stomachs, but also empty hearts. And how hospitable of Jesus that he wanted to feed the large crowd that was coming to him. But how pointed and misleading is Jesus' question to Philip about where to buy food. The gospel says that Jesus did this to test him. And Philip concludes that their lack of funds won't allow it. The answer he gives doesn't do it. Philip flunks out. Then Andrew throws in his 2 cents worth to what seems an already improbable situation, but is a bit too skeptical and falters. Andrew gets a D-. Finally, this unnamed little boy steps up and offers his lunch, his loaves and fishes, for the cause. A+. My friends, Jesus then takes the little that is offered to him, and in his hands, it becomes an abundant meal. What Jesus does with the bread and the fish sounds like the rubrics for what the priest presider continually does in the celebration of the Eucharist. After the people recline, Jesus takes the bread, gives thanks, and distributes both the bread and the fish himself. Jesus reaches out to the crowds with a sign that they can immediately grasp. He feeds them. Jesus meets the most basic need of hunger with generosity and compassion. Jesus was able to feed the crowds because a little boy was willing to share what little he had. Around the year 107 AD, St. Ignatius, Bishop of Antioch, was arrested during the persecution that happened in Rome under the Emperor Trajan and was transported back to Rome for execution in the Colosseum. As he traveled to Rome, Ignatius wrote 6 letters to the churches he passed along the way. And in those letters emerged 2 concerns for Ignatius as he journeyed toward his death. The first was the importance of unity in the church, and secondly, his own martyrdom. And in his letter to the Roman church, Ignatius wrote the following: "I write that I shall willingly die for God unless you hinder me. Allow me to become food for the wild beasts, through whose instrumentality it will be granted to me to get to God. Pray to Christ for me that by these instruments I may be found a sacrifice to God." In his letter, Ignatius called himself the wheat of God and the pure bread of Christ. Ignatius understood that his life and death was a sacrifice, an offering, a gift of bread, Eucharist for others. My friends, rarely will we be confronted with the monumental tasks of the disciples we hear about in the Gospel, or what happened to St. Ignatius of Antioch in Rome. Rarely will we be asked to feed thousands of people with only 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But every day, God wants us to reach out beyond our own human ability, and to build up God's reign here in our midst. So how can we do this? Well, we're doing it right now. We are doing it by being part of this faith community gathered for Eucharist. Brothers and sisters, each week we break open the Word of God to let it transform us and inspire us. Each week we bring to the table of the Eucharist the little we have, all the fragments, if you will, of our lives, our inadequacies, our successes, our failures, our hopes, and our fears. We do this in the form of bread and wine. And God takes who we are, gives thanks that we receive the gift, and assists us in distributing it to all who are hungry. The Eucharist makes us companions, literally bread sharers, from the Latin cum panis, with bread. Listen to what St. John Chrysostom has to say about this very reality. Do you wish to honor the body of Christ? Do not ignore him when he is naked. Do not pay him homage in the temple clad in silk, only then to neglect him outside where he suffers cold and nakedness. What good is it if the Eucharistic table is overloaded with golden chalices when he is dying of hunger? Start by satisfying his hunger, and then with what is left, you may adorn the altar as well. My friends, in a particular way, the Scriptures today challenge us to be as St. Ignatius called himself, the wheat of God, to be taken, ground up, blessed, distributed, and expended to become the pure bread of Christ. As we approach the Eucharistic table this morning, may we not be mindless consumers, but may we be strengthened to become a sacrifice for others, to become, as Augustine says, the bread that we receive. So let us then take this incredible presence and go out to do more than we can ever imagine on our own. Because, brothers and sisters, the blessings we receive are more than we can consume ourselves alone. Amen.